Field of 68 Networks. Got my brother here, Andre Collins. What's going on, bro?
What's up, my guy? Trav, what's good, bro? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Good, man. Happy New Year's, man. How's the fam doing?
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, bro. Same to you, man. Fam is great. Kids growing, you know, in school, doing great. You know, Lil Dre doing the sports, his basketball thing. Ashlyn doing her dance thing. Lil Kobe, you know, he's walking now. So,
oh man,
life is good, man. Life is good,
man. That's awesome, man. You said you got the little one. I be seeing the videos of the little one, man, going through the drills and that. How was that, man? Like, you know, like I got my kids, man. My kids not really involved in basketball. I did. My daughter just started, but how is it, man? You know, being able to basically go through drills with your little man, you know what I mean? Just saying that, like I said, like, we done playing, but now we got our little ones and we kind of go teach them the game. And, you know, so how's that going for you?
It's good, man. You know, like I think the coolest thing about me and little Dre, man, is he, you know, I don't have to force him to do anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything is pure. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he loves the game, man. Like, true student of the game, like, studies it, you know, all of that, man. So, you know, he wants it. You know what I mean? You know, so at least for now, you know what I mean? That may change. Right. You know what I mean? Right. But I think it's cool just because I don't have to ever feel like I'm forcing it on him. Like, this is just him. You know what I mean? So, like, but yeah, man, he's growing in this game. You know, he's in the fifth grade. He's 10, so you know it's been pretty cool being able to travel, you know, see certain tournaments to see how he measure up and see where he got to get better and just be a part of that with him, you know, and be able to give back the things that, you know, I was taught.
You know,
just be able to pay the game forward, man. Being able to do that with your own kid is great.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, my like I said, my daughter, man, she played all the other sports. I'm small from T-ball to, you know, she swims and does lacrosse and doing everything. I'm like, you know, you want to play basketball? She's like, this, no. I'm like, all right, because she's the most active out of really all of them. My oldest, he swims, but like, she's like the most active. I was like, you want to try basketball? I'm like, I'm not pressing it, but I'm like, all right, whatever. But I guess some of her friends at school decided they wanted to play basketball, and she was like, hey, Dad, I think I want to go for the basketball team. Somebody says, oh, yeah? So that's how that happened. But it's cool now because, like I said the other day at dinner, man, she was like, Dad, what number were you in? You was number 4, right, in college? I was like, yeah. She was like, I'm going to choose number 4. I'm going to play with number 4. I said, all right, that's what's up.
That's feeling in the world, right, bro?
Oh, man. I was like, man, I said, that's what's up, man, because I know how she is. She's super competitive. So I'm curious to see how she's going to do in basketball. So I ain't going to lie. I am excited about that, you know?
Yeah, enjoy it, man. Like, ain't nothing like it, for real. You know what I'm saying? Especially her wanting to wear that number 4.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Right. Like, that's a good feeling, bro. It's definitely feeling, man.
But she did just tell me, though, like, she's like, Dad, I'm sorry to say this. And I know you're going to be mad, you know. But I'm like, what's going on? She's like, you can't come to any of the practices or any of the games because of COVID. I'm like, this, what? I said, are you serious, man? So at the time I actually get you involved in basketball, I can't even attend no games. I'm like, man, bro. So, I mean, it is what it is, but I mean, what can we do?
Nah, I understand exactly what you're saying, man. It's rough out here, man. You know what I mean? And it's different times, but, you know, whatever it take to make them safe. Shoot, I'd be worried about that ticket, man. Like, I went to Lil Dre's game and spent $40 for a gate fee.
Are you serious?
I'm like, this guy, man, like, what is he, Division I already?
You said, like, $40,
man,
bro?
Man, $40, man, like, for the gate fee. It's insane, man, but, you know.
That's crazy, man. That's, so do he know who his pops is? And, man, what the legendary pops, you know anything about the history of what you done out here on these courts?
Yeah, man. I think I think that's also like a cool part too, because, you know, when he was about 2-3 years old, you know, I was still active and still playing in Europe.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he was able to experience it at least for a little bit. then you got like highlights and, you know, the people around, and now that he's starting to come into his own and want to, you know, play basketball and develop the love for basketball. Right. You know, like you got people that, you know, may talk about how I was as a player.
Right.
You know, like I said, I've seen him before, like, you know, kind of look up highlights and on YouTube. So, you know, he knows what I've done. But he also know that, you know, I worked hard, you know what I mean? And hopefully he'll take that part, you know, and instill it in himself as well.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Now, you from, what part of Maryland are you from again?
Chrisville, man. Eastern Shore.
Chrisville, Eastern Shore. Eastern Shore, man. So, I know coming up, man, I know you killed the game down there coming out of high school, man. So, I know you had your pickings of where you was going to go. Why did you choose Maryland?
I mean, like, honestly, I chose Maryland, man, because, one, it was in the ACC.
Right.
Two, I was familiar with the area. It wasn't too far from home. My mentor, Tony Yates, my guy, shout out to Tony, man. Like, you know, when I was about 12 years old, 12 or 13, you know, he sent me, like, in the summertime to a couple basketball camps up there, or just took me out of Chrisville, you know? Right. And, you know what I mean? Like, it just exposed me to certain things. I fell in love with that area.
Right. Absolutely.
Point blank period. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Just being exposed to that and the people and the way family is in that area. And then, you know, growing up on the history of Maryland and stuff like that, man, you know, it just exposed. I fell in love with the area. And then the biggest part, honestly, is, you know, just the way the coaching staff recruiting, like Dave Dickerson and Jimmy Patsos, and, you know, like, man, like, Jimmy's my guy, man.
Yeah.
Jimmy is my guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's crazy you ask me that, man. I kind of get emotional when I talk about how I, you know, how I got to Maryland or why I chose Maryland. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just because it's a little bit different, like, on the Eastern Shore than what it is, you know, like, across the bridge, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, y'all, you grow up right there when you in that DC, like, area.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you on the Eastern Shore, man, like, that exposure, you know, is real slim.
Right.
You know what I
mean? Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, man, you know, Dave and Jimmy, man, on their recruiting path, man, they don't play no games. They don't play no games, man. We got how to recruit, man, and they adamant. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, the way Maryland saw me, I went to I was the summer going into my senior year, I was a junior, and I had got invited to Nike All-American camp. You know what I mean? And Tony was like, you know, like, man, Gary Williams camp is the week before.
Right.
So I was like, all right, well, I'll go to Gary Williams camp. So I went to Gary's camp, and you know, they saw me there and was killing the camp. And, you know, my man Mo Howard, like, you know, a Turk. You know Mo, right?
Yeah, I know Mo, yeah.
Maurice Howard, like, you know what I mean? Shout out to Mo, Philly, you know, a legend, was a Turk at Merrill, you know what I mean? And he went and got, I want to say it was either Billy Hunt or Patsos, and told him, was like, hey, man, like, you know, this kid, like, I've been seeing him, and he's been killing.
Right.
And they came and checked me out, and then they invited me to play with the team, like a pickup, and man, that's crazy. Right after that, like, they started recruiting me. That's how, you know, I ended up at Maryland, bro.
Hey, that's a heck of a story, bro. I didn't even know that, man. But that lets people know a lot, man. It's just man, if you go hoop, but regardless of where you're from, you gonna hoop, man. They gonna get you. You know what I'm saying? Especially if they see the potential. You know what I mean?
For sure. For sure. You just got to put in the work, man. You know.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you come, so going to your freshman year, so who was on that team when you were coming in?
Going into my freshman year, we had obviously Juan.
Right.
We had Blake, Drew Nicholas, Taj Holden, Wilcox, Sleepy, My man Earl, God rest his soul, Mike Brennan, Boogie, Lonnie, my bad. You know, I call him Boogie. Yeah. LB. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, man. It was a mob. Chris Wilcox.
So how was that, man? How was that in the sense of, you know, first of all, when your first interaction with G Dub, Coach G Dub, man, your first interaction with G Dub in that, okay, we ain't recruiting you no more. Now you're on the team. Now this was really good. You know what I mean? Like, how was that, your first experience with that? And then, like, just practicing with those guys, man, just like the intensity of it. Like, obviously, y'all loaded. So what was that experience like for you?
Which G Dub we talking about? We talking about Coach Williams, like, intense G Dub, like like during the game, or
when you're in practice, like your first. This is my first. I know G Dub was, you know, recruiting me.
That's what I'm saying. Or are we talking about like G Dub on campus? Just, you know what I mean? Like, nah, but man, like, I'm not gonna lie, man. I looked up to G Dub, man, because he was a dog. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, he was a winner.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? And like, I wanted to be around him. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't like intimidated, but
right.
I respected it, and I was scared also.
Yeah,
that makes sense. you're in front of greatness. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
You know what I mean? And you know, it was intense.
Yeah,
like, it was intense, bro. Like, I think my first really like running with him, you know, when I was feeling myself, I guess, when practicing, a little bit embarrassed, you know. But as freshman year, I kept turning the ball over, making the same exact pass.
Right.
Man, I'm just leave it alone. I he said something to me, and I said something back, and I'm gonna leave it alone after that because it didn't make sense for me to have said something. Man, he chewed me out.
Yeah,
man.
Nah, absolutely, man. And in those practices, man, I know that's when they. So your freshman year. Was that the first Final Four? No.
No, so like that's what I'm saying. So they went to the Final Four the year I was at Hargrave.
Gotcha.
So coming into that year, and that's what I was saying, that's why it was so intense, because you coming off of a Final Four where you just tasted, you know what I mean? Like, you just tasted like that you was this close.
Right.
And you come up short when you in a game that, you know, you probably should have won.
Absolutely.
So, like, all the guys were very intense, you know? So when I came into my freshman year, like, right after they went to the Final Four, you know, it was business, man.
Yeah.
You know, so it was – I don't know, man. I guess the feeling was, like, kind of eager, ambitious, intimidated, and you know, all in one. But I was happy to be there, though.
Man, what was your – man, you had great experience, bro. Like, you – Cole Fieldhouse, which is one. I went to games there. I played high school ball there, but it ain't the same when you playing those ACC games and you're in a Cole Fieldhouse and it's hot as a mug in that joint. Because I used to go there, man, with the surf. I used to be steaming up. But what was that experience like just being on that floor, man? You know, during those ACC games in Cole Fieldhouse, like, you down. Like, it's like the Coliseum, it says you down on the floor and everybody just breathing. But you know how the fans were there as well. It was very intense. So what was that atmosphere like for you, man, especially playing against the Dukes and the North Carolinas of it all, man?
It was, like, it was special, man. It was crazy because it was like being in a small gym where you can feel the fans, like, right there on top of you, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And then to know you're playing in buildings where, like, people like Len Bias have played in and stuff like that, you know, it just gives a – just gives a different feel, probably how the kids feel today when you hear, like, you know, with Xfinity Center, you know, you got, oh man, Juan Dixon played here, or Steve Blake played here,
right.
You know, it was an amazing atmosphere, you know, just playing there. It's hot, had that old school feel,
right?
And it was home court advantage for sure. you know? Yeah. And then on top of that, like, for me, it was kind of like a double thing. For me, it was, like, growing up on the Eastern Shore, you in high school basketball, your biggest goal is to get the Cole Fieldhouse.
Right, exactly. Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, so just the building was historic in itself, and it was great playing there. You know, it's the same for Xfinity Center. It's a beautiful facility, and
right.
we was excited when we got in there. But
right.
for somebody that has played in both buildings, I can tell you the feeling is definitely not the, you know, same. It's not the same, like, you know, effect.
Right. No, absolutely, man. Like I said, man, only chance I got to play in the Cole Fieldhouse when I first got there, we was playing pickup before Comcast Center at the time was still in the process of being built and in high school games. So it's not this, like you said, it's probably not the same intensity. But you came in, bro, like now y'all on that run to the championship. Like now y'all on that run. Now y'all going to the Sweet 16. What was that experience like, bro? Like your first year there. Now y'all on that hot streak when y'all – just tell me what that whole run was like for you, that whole process, like, from the practices until, like, y'all knew it was under wraps in the sense of just y'all knew nobody was messing with y'all. Because, like I said, I was at the games. I'm watching the game. I'm like, man, it's – they looking scary, bro. And I don't know. This definitely could be the year because that was, like, a real scary that year. What was that like watching that, being there, and just – like just being around it, what was the attitude like? Like I know I kind of could tell what it was like, but what for other people, what was that attitude? What was that mindset like for everybody just in that, in y'all group, in the team?
I mean, from, it wasn't even up until like the mindset wasn't developed, you know, when we got to the tournament, you know what I mean? Like the fact that those guys, I'm going to say it was just big on the returners.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they created the mindset from the day the freshmen stepped foot on campus. Like, it was one goal, one mission. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it was right. it was national championship or it was a bust. You right. know, and I know every school and every basketball team think that way. But in all reality, you might think that way, but you know you're not going to, you know, win the national championship. You know, like. Right. Those guys believed deep down inside that, you know, they was going to win the national championship. So right. the role that the year before played, you know, and everything that they took and the pain and hurt, you know, that they took from the year before when they went made the Final Four. And when it was – we learned that in the summertime. During, you know, how we go to school in summer session one.
Right.
When
right.
you meet everybody, you know what – you know what the mission is. You know what the goal right. is. And,
right.
all the way from the workouts to up until, you know, April. We knew what right. the job was and the mentality was the same. Like, right. that was one of the best experiences of my life, man. Like, you know, I think I want to say it was maybe on that one shining moment.
Yeah.
When I was balling.
Yeah, right, like, right.
People don't understand the emotion behind that is, you know, just because, like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime achievement, man. And
absolutely.
Again, like, for someone like me to grow up in Chrisfield and, you know, be from down here on the Eastern Shore, like, those opportunities are very, very rare and slim
right.
compared to the opportunities that, you know, in the DMV, like, you guys, like, produce a kid that could possibly experience that every year.
Right.
You know, because right. they're going to those high major schools, man. So, right. You know, it was just an amazing experience for me that I hold dear to my heart still to this day.
Right.
Like, I'm looking forward to our reunion coming up next month.
Yeah. I was just talking to Coach Dickerson, man. I didn't even realize it. He was like, yeah, it's like, what, 20? Ain't 20 years, bro. 20 years?
Yeah, man. Yeah, 20 Eesh. Years.
We getting old, bro.
I know.
But that's what's up, man. Like, I asked Tim because obviously he was there during those times when obviously they was getting over the Len Bias experience and then the reshaping of the program. So it was like, you knew where it started from, like, you know, like how the program was until now, y'all won the first and only national championship there. Like, did you feel the same way in the sense of like knowing the history of the school and where they was and everything they had to overcome? And then that moment, I know obviously being around Coach Williams, who had to basically reshape the whole program, then being with Coach Dickerson, man, who actually played for the program and actually was going within that reshaping moment. Did you sense that? And then could you feel that too, like during that moment when everybody emotional? Because like I said, that's that one that you go down in history, bro. You was a part of that first and only national championship team Merlin ever had thus far.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that, you know, like I felt the same type of emotion as Coach, as Double D did. You know what I mean? Because, like, he legit went through that era of where, you know, like, those tough, tough times. You know what I mean? Like, I was aware of it. You know what I'm saying? And I was happy for our program, for sure. You know what I mean? But I think at the time, you know, in the physical sense at the time, I was in a place where I couldn't even, like, imagine on what we just accomplished. You know what I'm saying? Think on how big it was and how it affected so many people and affected all of the people that came before us. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm being honest, you know what I mean? Right. I know it would be easy for me to say, like, oh, yeah, I was thinking about all of that, you know? You know, but I genuinely I think it's a different feel for Coach Dickerson, man, because like I said, he grew up like he was really, really in them trenches during that time.
Right, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Nah, man, like I said, I never won the national championship, so I only could live through vicariously through you guys, man, that actually did it. And like what was that even for that atmosphere in regards to, man, y'all played with in Atlanta, right? It was in Atlanta, correct?
Yeah. Yeah,
it was like 100,000 people around. Wasn't it like in the country, like 100,000 people, I believe?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but it was crazy. It was probably the most people that I've ever seen in my life in one place.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Hey, but before we talk some more basketball, some Terp basketball, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time, because they are offering up to $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But where the system apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus to cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With basketball season tipping off, get onto the action on by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading the BetRivers app. Must be 21 years older or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, bro. Now, y'all win the national championship. Lonnie leaves. Chris Wilcox leaves. Who? Mouton leaves. Now, it's kind of a sense of now y'all had that taste. Like y'all had the taste, but now you got us coming in. The new guys coming in. Obviously, yeah, we lost. You guys lost some major pieces. What was the mindset going into when that new freshman class was coming in? Obviously, y'all got the taste of it now. Now y'all want to get back there again, possibly with another one, especially Steve and them at the time. You know, there's going to be the last year there. What was the mindset that, like, after y'all won a national championship, but at the same sense, you lost so many major pieces?
It was the same, man, because the guys that we had returning, they played a major role in winning, you know, the first one. You know, winning the year before, you know what I mean? Like Steve Blake was one of the best point guards in the country, if not the best point guard in the country, you know? And then he also had an opportunity to come in and show, you know, other things that he showed us in practice, but he might not get in the game and show that, you know, he could average 17 to 20 points a game too. And the same with Drew, like, I saw major battles with Drew and Juan, you know, so we believed in our leaders and Taj Holden and, you know, we believed in Sleepy, you know, we believed in those guys and ourselves as well, you know, and then we had a very good freshman class coming in, you know, with yourself, with Chris, John, Jamar coming from Allegheny, you know, we did lose, obviously, who I would say is the best player to have ever played in the Maryland jersey, at least accolade-wise in Juan. We lost Chris Wilcox, and we lost our heart of our team, I would say, in Mouton and Lonnie as well, you know. But you know, the guys that we came, that we had coming in, all could contribute, right. You know, and everybody on our roster, I feel like could have always contributed,
right.
You know, at least all throughout my time at Maryland, you know what I mean? So we was confident in getting back to, you know, what we had just accomplished, you know, and right. we still had a, you know, the best coaching staff in the country.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause that year we went to the, we lost to Michigan State in the Sweet 16. Lost to Michigan State in the Sweet 16. But we didn't, I guess I tell people all the time when I talk to them, like, it's a little different when you, like you said, when you was coming in, they just got off that Final Four run. So you went into your first practice during the summertime, you said you felt that intensity because of the hunger that they had coming in. In the same sense, like you said, we coming in, I know for me, I didn't understand. I know what y'all just did, but it was like, I wasn't there in that. So I'm basically, we coming in off the high off what y'all guys just did. You know what I'm saying? So we wasn't in the trenches with you guys. So we don't know what to feel. We just going in like, all right, this is our first year. This is what we came to do. I mean, and you guys let us know quickly, like, man, look, we just won a national championship. We trying to get back there. Y'all got to get on board. You know what I'm saying? So. It was that, I know, like I said, me coming in, it was a shift of, I didn't quite comprehend everything that was going on during that time, but it was trying to catch up, man, trying to contribute however we could or however I could, you know what I mean? But at the same time, trying to grasp the moment that we had and the moment that we were in, you know what I mean?
Right. You got your career high that year, right?
There you go. I knew you was coming with it. There you go. Hey, for what y'all don't know, man, dealing with these guys, him and Chris, we're in the group chat, we joke about it all the time. These guys was the worst people to sit next to on a bench, especially when we won in the game, because these guys were on joke time. All the time, man. They was on joke time all the time. So I'm not even going to go into what they always trying to clown me about. So let's talk about that. I know you want to bring it up. So let's go ahead and bring it up for the audience real quick. What him and Chris McCray always get on me about is talking about how I got put in the game in the last few seconds. I don't know who you're playing. It was my freshman year. And it was like, I guess, NC State?
I can't remember, man. I can't remember who we were playing. That's like the only detail I don't remember.
Hey, I think it was NC State. I think I, if I can recall, it was the NC State game. And, like, Coach put me in with, like, 45 seconds. It was, like, less than a minute. Right? I can't even remember, man. But to a point that they always clown me about it. And after the game was over, they come running onto the court and, like, jumping up and down and, like, congratulating me for getting the game for, like, a few seconds in the game, man. So they clown me on this all the time, man. So we got that out the way.
You're a good sport, bro.
But, nah, man, so obviously we know that you end up leaving Maryland, but you also went to go play for – the former guy, the guy who basically brought you to Maryland, and Coach Jimmy Passos.
Right.
What was that like, man? Now dealing with Coach Passos on as a head coach, like what was that like? Because he's still a Maryland guy, and so you went to go play for him. What was that like? And what was that decision like to even leave Maryland and to go obviously go play for Coach Passos at Loyola?
Yeah man. First, I guess to speak on that decision, man, like what it was like, it was probably the toughest decision, you know, that I've made in my life. You know, man, I cried. Like a lot of people don't know. Like I cried about that, man. And I thought on it. You know, it was a very tough decision for me. Right. I thank God for my brother Tony because, you know, like he's always like helped me with that decision. You know what I mean? Like he's always like help me, like let me know that it's okay to make that decision. And he was right there with me, you know, when I was going through, you know, just the feeling of, you know, I don't want to come off like saying not getting an opportunity or anything like that, but just, you know, just like for me, it was bigger. I always knew what I wanted to do. So I knew I right. wanted to play basketball and, you know, like after college, you know, as my profession. It just wasn't right. going to happen at Maryland, but I also loved Maryland so much. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know, so like my guys was like, all my bros was there and friendships right. and, you know, so it hurt, you know what I mean?
Right.
But,
right.
you know, but in terms of Jimmy, like, man, that's my guy. Like,
right.
like, I love Jimmy to death, man. You know, like, and, you know, when I found out that Jimmy took the job and he reached out to me, you know, at Loyola, like, man, I didn't even, people don't know, I never took a visit to Loyola.
Wow.
You know, like, I just, oh, yeah, Jimmy, I'm rocking with you. Like, yeah, we can do this together, you know?
Right,
I'm going to help you and you're going to help me, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we both going to have an opportunity to, you know, get a fresh start.
Right.
He was stepping into the beginning of his coaching career as far as a head coach. And, you yeah. know, I was seeking, trying to further my career. You know,
right.
And but you know, Jimmy as a person, man, Jimmy's A1, like stand right. up, you know, a player's coach, and
right.
you know, if you in the bar and somebody got beef with you, Jimmy, you know, he got your back,
right, right.
You
right.
know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Like I love Jimmy to death, man. So it was awesome playing for him, you know.
Right.
It was easy, really. It was simple. You know, right. he was very, you know, motivated and ambitious and, you know, he was, like, super intense, you know, and it was like Gary, so it gave that Maryland feel.
Right. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy because, honestly, at Loyola, man, that was like mini Maryland.
Wow.
You know, you got
– Right.
You had Jimmy as a coach. You had myself. You had Matt Cavort. You had
Stokes.
You know, you got Terrell Stokes. Right. And you had Hassan Fofana.
Right. Man,
that's a mini Maryland, man. You know what I mean?
I so, forgot like, all about that.
I couldn't have chosen a school better than Loyola because it was right down the street from Maryland. I remember you guys, like, came up to Loyola and, you know, like DJ and Chris, you know, like came up there and chilled and all that. So it was just like being still at Maryland a little bit. Obviously, it was lower scale, but you know, it still had that Maryland feel, man. So it was great playing for Jimmy, bro.
Right. Nah, that's what's up, man. Like I said, Jimmy's my guy, man. Every time I see him, man, I think I'm gonna see him soon at the Maryland game. But I definitely get it, man. So okay, now you finish your college career. Did major things, won a national championship. Now it's time to go to that pro life. What was that transition like? And what was the first place you went in your first year out?
So I think my first year out was 2006.
Six, right. Uh-huh.
I think it's 2005, 2006. Or 6-7, one of the two. But my first year was in Ferrara, Italy, for a team called Carife Ferrara.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fluent, bro, by the way.
There you go. Nah,
for real, though. But yeah, man, I spent my first three seasons there, man. And it was, you know, it was just like, just had to prove yourself all over again. You know, and I was obviously happy, but you know us, man, the goal was always to reach the league. So it was right, always absolutely. Something that we was chasing, you know.
Right.
So I wasn't satisfied, you know, but, you know, I had a great time, great experience. You know, we won the championship. I was, you know, MVP of the league and, you know, stuff like that. So was able to take a team that was in the second league and win a championship and move them to the first league for the first time in the team history, you know, you know, and then, you know, sports overseas in Europe, man, is amazing.
Right.
Just
absolutely.
Like from the fan love and the culture and learning different things, you know, it was a great experience, man. So, you know, just thankful that I was able to experience that.
Absolutely. And you played overseas. You played overseas how many years?
I was there for 10 and a half years.
Wow. You was where, for 10 years?
In Europe, overseas.
Oh, okay. You said you did 3 years in Italy, and where else did you go?
Now, I did 7.5 in Italy.
Oh, man.
So I played a year in Turkey, and I played a year and a half in Belgium.
Oh, that's what's up, man. So you say you know a little bit of Italian, bro. You don't know fluently, though. You ain't speaking a full conversation in Italian, though.
Hey, look, man, like, they call me the Black Italian, man.
Oh, there he go. little baby mama. But now that's what's up, man. A lot of people can't make that transition, man, and be successful. Even me, man, I was hearing stories over there, you killing and what you're doing, the numbers you're putting up. You know, I saw videos, man. Definitely super proud of you, bro, for real, man. And also, let's touch on Maryland. Now, they obviously, you know, with the coaching transition, what do you think Maryland needs in regards to a head coach or who they should bring in? And who are your picks, like, and why? Like, what are your thoughts in regards to next coach at Maryland if they decide to make a change?
If I'm being honest, I think right now we in a state where it's not really about our record anymore. You know, if you look at just, I guess, the attendance over the past games, and I'm not sure if it's because, you know, the students aren't necessarily there. But what I will say is the students don't fill up the entire arena, you know.
Right.
I think it's more so about people being enthused about the program right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So and you call me a little bit biased. You know, but me personally, I just think it needs a boost of morale. And I think that can only come from, you know, guys that are Terps.
Right
now.
Right.
You know, right. If I'm just being honest, you know, obviously I've stated several times who I would love to see have the position in one, because it's not necessarily about X and O's. It's not about, you know, experience right now and who has the most wins. You know, if you can go get a Rick Pitino or something like that, that would be great. But, I mean, let's be honest, like, how many years do we have with Rick Pitino on those sidelines?
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, but I just think someone like a Juan or, you know, even if we can get Blake into coaching, we get some home guys, Dwayne Simpkins, you know, or get some guys from around Maryland. But me personally, man, I just think that our bench needs to start showing a little bit more support to our alum. Kind of like Duke and what University of North Carolina does, you know?
Facts. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. I definitely agree with that, man. You know, folks, people always ask me my thoughts on it. And I guess people that's outside of the the community, man, probably may not really understand or comprehend what we mean when we say things like that, because they're not in it. We played for them and was there and played it within that program. So we kind of understand a little differently than other people on the outside. They're like, oh, why are you saying that? Like, that don't make sense. Well, probably don't to you, but we was there. We went through that program. We know, you know, we know, but, obviously, man, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do. Obviously, we want to see them kind of turn things around this year if they can, man. But I think all eyes are definitely on Merlin to see who they're going to end up bringing in.
Right, yeah. I mean, whoever it is, man, I just hope that they can, you know, just connect with our fan base. And I think that whoever the next coach is needs to do a better job of keeping our alum close. You know, keeping guys like Juan Dixon close or Steve Blake close, or you know, just try to bring those guys as close to the you know, the team as possible, you know, to the program as possible. I remember Steve Francis stayed on campus when, you know, would come back and hoop. And not saying that guys don't now, you know, I just would like to see our program, you know, kind of take care of our own a little bit more.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Now, I definitely want to touch on this, man, before we go, because it's dear to my heart too, man. I love what you're doing, what you got going down in your community, man, back at home in regards to your organization. You got to touch on that, man, and all the things that you're doing for your hometown and all your business endeavors that you're doing as well.
I mean, you know, with everything I do, man, I know that there's not many that is from my area that had the opportunity to do the things that I've done. I was blessed with, you know, people that have played a role in my life to expose me to certain things. So that's all I'm trying to do now, you know. Whether it's through giving back through, you know, the basketball facility that I had called the Lab Basketball Training, you know, where I train, you know, different kids or high school to college or, you know, all the way to beginners, you know, whether it's that or, you know, working on starting a nonprofit called Project Exposure, which I think is huge for this area. You know, like I've said all night, you know, guys just don't get exposure from around here. And it's not just in basketball. It's just like in different, you know, just life in general,
right.
You know?
Right.
So that's my focus, man. Opening a shoe store to try to show, you know, that it's possible, you know, someone that grew up like right here in the community and the projects and stuff like that, like, you know, right there in the trenches and the struggle, you know, that it's possible and attainable, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, man, it's just, I really don't want to go, you know, and name like every single thing I'm doing, you know, just kind of just speak on why I'm doing, you know, try to go so hard and do the things I do.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You got to talk about your celebrity game that you do every year though, too, man. You got to at least mention that.
Yeah, man, for sure. Like Dre Day, you know, I started Dre Day. I was home one summer from playing overseas and, you know, in the off season, and I was watching the news. I was actually ready to go work out. And I was watching the news, eating breakfast, and I saw that like a 16, 17-year-old kid, you know, had gotten killed. You know, and then I watched the news the next day, and, you know, and that bothered me. I watched the news the next day, and I saw that his mother was doing an interview on the news. And, you know, just seeing her strength, like, through that struggle,
right.
You know, and the way she spoke and tried to motivate and tried to help during the time that she had lost, you know, her child, you know what I mean? It, something hit me, man. It made me feel like I needed to do something to help in the situation. So I created Dre Day. And I tied it around, you know, three things that I feel like, you know, are some of the biggest problems in my community. Here on the Eastern Shore, and that's, you know, drug abuse, bullying, and, you know, gun violence.
Right.
You know, and what I do is I hold a celebrity basketball game every summer around my birthday weekend. You know, and I invite different celebrities to come play in the game, and we bring awareness to those three things. You know, and during the event, I invite families that have lost someone, you know, through all three causes. you know, and I try to just let them know that, you know, their kid is or family member is not forgotten, you know, and that they're not going through it alone and somebody's out here trying to make change, you know, and feel their pain.
Absolutely, man. I definitely commend you on that, bro. That's huge, man. I think it shows the younger people, man, in your neighborhood and where you come from, man, that it's possible, even by you winning the national championship. I mean, that's huge, too. Then going overseas, being successful, then coming back and giving back to your community, man. So I definitely applaud you on that, bro, man. Super happy for you, man. You know I'm going to definitely come down and support and help out however I can.
Sure.
Anything you need from me, man, and also people that's listening. I mean, they can definitely – I would love for them to help out as well, you know, even if it's just attending the games, you know, things of that nature, donating. So, man, like I said, man, I appreciate you, bro, man. I appreciate our brotherhood, man. Happy for you, man. I appreciate you joining the Go Terpins. with Travis Garrison on the Field of 68 Networks. And thanks for taking time out your day, bro. I definitely appreciate you, bro.
Thanks, man. Like you already know, it was a pleasure. You know, I definitely appreciate you having me. And, you know, it's always love. You know what I mean? You know how we do, man. We can get together this summer.
Oh, yeah, you already know.
And for sure, hopefully, man, like, you know, when I come up, you know, in February for the reunion, man, like, you know, swing by. You know, we family.
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely, man.
Appreciate you having me.
All love, bro, man.